So I wanted to talk a little bit about baptism. If you're looking for somewhere to turn, maybe you can turn to Matthew 13. Well, I have a few passages, but that would be one definitely we'll look at. Matthew 13 in and of itself isn't necessarily talking about baptism, but you'll hopefully understand how that ties in as we go. Jesus said at the end of Mark, he said, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved shall be condemned, has disbelieved shall be condemned." So we know that this is a command that God has given, and so it's encouraging to see Jessica and Liz desiring to walk in obedience to that command that Jesus has given. And the baptism is an interesting thing. Baptism is a symbol. And we see that, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about. And so we see there's the same way that Jesus went, we know this, the same way that Jesus went to the cross and died and then rose out of the grave. That's the symbol we see here. And it's really meant to be, and it is a desire, that it's a symbol of what's happening in their hearts. And it's really a symbol of what is happening in their lives every day. And that's the way it ought to be for each one of us, making that decision to follow Jesus and to be baptized. It's to say, Lord, just like Paul says in the other passage I want to look at, definitely is Romans chapter 6 talks a lot about baptism. And it says that if we are united with him in the likeness of his death, then we shall also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. So you can take that many different ways. One can just say, well, yeah, when I die, then I also believe that I will rise again naturally and I'll be with him in heaven. And I think that there's truth to that. If we believe, then that's the hope that we have, that we will spend eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's an amazing promise that we have. But between now and when each of us passes away or Jesus comes, we've got a lot of, we might have a few days, we might have a lot of days, we don't know. But in those days that we have, there's an opportunity to actually live this out every day, to be united with him in the likeness of his death every day, so that we can also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection every day. So we want to talk about that because that's critical, I think. We've talked before about the two halves of the gospel, so this is not way different than that. And believing not just that he died for us, but that he rose again, and he's alive today, and he desires to do that same work in our lives. So it says in 1 John chapter 5, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this verse. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." This is where our walk with Jesus starts. And praise God for that. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3, he said that, what did he say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's it. This is what happens when you try and quote a verse on the spot. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the beginning of our journey with Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, whoever believes, this aspect, that you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died on the cross for our sins, for your sins, and that he rose again. John says, you are a son or daughter of God. That's the beginning of the journey. And then Jesus says, believe and be baptized. Hence why we see Jessica and Liz walking out this step of obedience. So let's look in Matthew 13, because I think Matthew 13 in the parable of the sower of the seed, I want to talk about this because, and I want it all to kind of tie into this being the start of the journey of believing that Jesus is the Messiah, that he died on the cross and that he rose again. But then how does that play out in our life every day? And believing that same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you and I every day. And that's what Jesus wants to do in our lives, is that every day, if we're willing to say, you know what, today, Jesus, I want to be united with you in the likeness of your death. When temptation comes, when a test comes, whatever it may be, Lord, I want to be willing to say, not my will. The same way, Jesus, you said, not my will, Father, yours be done, to say the same thing. Why? So that we could be like Paul, and he would say, I would count everything loss that I might know him. And he says, what? To know the power of his resurrection. And yes, I believe in my heart, Paul desires to know the power of his resurrection when the end of his life comes. But I believe in my heart, Paul wanted to know the power of his resurrection every day of his life, to be able to say that he was walking. Jesus came. We say this so often. We sang this song this morning called Abundant Life. This is why Jesus came, was that, I'm going to say this personally, that Jessica and Liz, but that every person sitting here could walk in that abundant life. And that happens when we believe, when we walk out this act of baptism, not what will happen here necessarily, but when we're willing in our hearts to say, Jesus, today, waking up afresh today, saying, Lord, today, not my will, Lord, yours be done. I'm willing to take up my cross, just like you said, whoever, we have to be willing to take up our cross daily if we want to be a disciple. So today, Lord, I want to take up my cross. If someone says something to me that's hurtful, if a temptation comes, Lord, I want to be willing to say, Lord, I'm going to deny myself, Lord, and have resurrection power that I can be a fragrance of life to a perishing world. This is, and we said, what is this song we sang this morning too? It says that despite all that Jesus went through, he had more joy than anyone has ever had in this world. And he's offered that to us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, that we can have love for people when it's impossible of ourselves to love them. That we can have joy, and I talked about being cheerful. Let's correlate that with being joyful at the same time too, I think. At the end of the day, when difficult times come, like Anna talked about, I think each of us knows the only way to truly have that peace and that joy is the power of Jesus Christ working in our lives. That's the only way that we can have hope and have joy. So let's look at this parable of the sower and the seed, and let's just jump straight to the explanation. I'm going to read it actually in the NLT. So if you have that, you can read along, whatever you have, but it says starting in verse 18, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. So that's where it can end. Obviously, we desire that it doesn't end there. But for some, it does. Then it says, the next one, Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. So let's stop there. Because I think for many of us, hopefully that's not, don't park the rocky soil just for a second. But when we hear the word of God, that we receive it with joy. And that's where we hear and we believe, hey, he is the Messiah. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I believe, praise God, I believe he died for my sins and that he rose again. That's the beginning of our journey with Jesus Christ. And I think each of us now, I'm going to say it's the rocky soil, each of us now is going to face what happens to the rocky soil. I think I'll ask you this, don't raise your hand. This is where, for me, my journey with Jesus Christ started. When I was 22, 24 years old. When really, I grew up in a Christian home, I'm so grateful for that. I had the chance to hear the gospel growing up. But that relationship with Jesus Christ became real when I made that personal decision at 22, 24 years old. Forgive me for not remembering exactly, but I made that decision to say, Lord, I'm willing to lose everything if I could just know this joy and this freedom in my life that I hear about and that I've heard about all my life. I'm just not experiencing it in my life. I am a slave. It's as a young person, we can make ourselves look really good, and that's what I was. To anybody on the outside, I've said this, like, that's what I was. People could see that. And so I actually came to believe that. I'm a pretty good guy. And it wasn't until I became older and a little bit older in my early 20s that I began to see, and the Lord allowed circumstances to help me to see, that I was completely in chains to sin and that I couldn't be free. No matter how good I looked on the outside, inwardly, I was a slave of sin and that I needed a Savior just like everybody else, even the people that, if I were honest, I'd look down on. Because their lives outwardly, you could just tell, wow, they're doing all these things. It's very clear they are not following Jesus. But me, I put on a good show. And so everyone, oh, yeah, he's a good Christian boy. But they didn't see the inside. And Jesus sees the inside. And he knew I was a slave. And so it was at that age, or in my early 20s, I came to Jesus. And I surrendered my life to him, and praise God, he began to just break those chains. But I then found myself here. So it says that they hear the message, and they immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. So to Jessica and Liz, and to each one of us, we need to get our roots down in Jesus Christ, because there's going to be tests that come. And we don't want to stop here in our journey with Jesus Christ. That's for every one of us. What happens? It says, but they don't have deep roots, so they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or they're persecuted for believing God's word. And this is what happened. All of a sudden, because God began to convict me of things and activities, things I was partaking in, and I will tell you, I wasn't partaking in them alone. So all of a sudden, this cross he talks about, when all of a sudden, I'm not coming to that. I'm not going to do that. And you're trying to explain this to the people you used to partake in these things. These were my friends. In some cases, it was my family. All of a sudden, the persecution started to come. What do you mean? You are a goody two-shoes and all these things, right? All this persecution starts to come. And now the danger becomes real, where we could become this rocky soil. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we just discard our faith. Perhaps we fall into some kind of place of some, we make some compromise. Well, I'll still, and this is where it really becomes real. And for each one of us, this is so critical. It's to say, Lord, you know what? And Jason kind of prayed this, but you know the song. It says, Lord, though none go with me, yet I will follow. No turning back. Jesus said, if we put our hand to the plow and we look back, and we may look back at friendships we might lose, we might look back at different costs that it will come, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I'm following you no matter the cost, no matter what it costs. I count everything else loss for the sake of knowing you. And we don't know what lies ahead on the road with Jesus. But we do know the end of the story, as we heard. The end of the story is that he's come that you would have life and have it abundantly. And if you're willing to say, Jesus, I'm going to walk with you, much like Ruth, see the story of Ruth and Naomi. It's almost like this picture we see. It's just like, I'm going with you. No matter where you go, I'm going with you. Your people are going to be my people. I'm going to lose my family. I'm going to lose my people. I am going with you no matter where you go. And that's what Jesus is calling us to. And in the end, why? It says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, the physical cross. He endured separation from his Father. He endured all of that for us, for the joy set before him. And that's the same for us today. For the joy set before us, we can take up our cross every day and say, I'm going to follow you, Jesus, no matter what the cost. And the biggest point, I want to watch my time. We want to give time for testimony and the baptism. But what's been in my heart of late is believing in the resurrection, but believing in it in our everyday lives. And that's where our faith, the rubber, I'll say, hits the road. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So now we go from being just a son of God to the one who's overcoming. And I'll tell you right now, this is the journey Jesus is calling us to. He is looking for those that are not just... He's looking for those that will grow to maturity. He doesn't want us to stay in a place where we simply say, yes, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross and that he rose again. Those are critical. That's the foundation of our faith. But he desires for us to grow in our walk with him, where we would become fruitful. It says, if we bear much fruit, God is glorified. And we begin to bear fruit when every day we're willing to say, Lord, I believe the same power that raised you from the dead is available to me today. And each of us that's begun a journey with Jesus Christ will have faced this. Perhaps you were faced with a temptation. You were faced with something, a realization to say, you know what? Lord, I can't do that on my own. I specifically remember this. I had to end a relationship when I came to the Lord. And I remember the tests that came with that. And I remember I wasn't overcoming. And God just began to speak to me, and I was so thankful to have brothers around me that could encourage me and to share with me and build my faith. And I remember specifically coming to this place of realizing, you know what? I need to be willing to take, it says putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. Where does the looking back happen? I'll tell you right now, for me, it happened in my mind. I began to think about, what does it say in Hebrews? It says, if they had been thinking about the land from which they left, I think it's in reference probably to Abraham, I don't remember the passage off, it says they would have had every opportunity to go back to that land. When we come to Jesus, there's no looking back. There's no thinking about maybe we lose a friendship. There's no thinking about that. It's pressing on. Jesus, my eyes are fixed on you. But my mind was drifting back. And then I remember a brother in the Lord saying to me, like, you need to begin to just take those thoughts captive. And I didn't have the faith for that. I was like, I don't think I can do it. You don't understand the flood of thoughts that I get every day that want to draw me back to this old life. But then God put a mustard seed of faith in my heart that I could take the next thought captive. And that's what I had faith for. And as soon as I had faith for that, I was like, I can take the next thought captive. All of a sudden, life began to come. It was all I needed. I didn't have to think about the thoughts that were going to come tomorrow. It was just whatever the next thought is, by the grace of God, I'm going to take that thought captive. I'm not looking back. So I took that one captive. And then I was like, you know what? I got the faith to take the next one captive. And I got it was always just the next one. But that's where this faith in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ comes. Whatever you're facing, and you know what? I'm not here to downplay the trials and the tests that we face. But to believe, this is the message of the gospel, is to believe that the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to each and every one of us every day of our life to carry us through temptation, to break. When he says that he came that we would have life and life abundantly, how many of you think that that abundant life is lived out in when we're a slave of sin, things we know are wrong? I think every one of us would say that's not life. Every one of us has been there. It says that that's a place. I live that way. It's a life of condemnation. When we are doing the very things we know, we've heard all of our childhood, we know these things are sin, and yet we live that way. And yet we realize we're a slave. I can't stop. This is why we need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, to break the chains and the power of sin that want to hold us in that place. And that's where the devil wants to keep us. But praise God, we serve a risen Savior who's there longing to set the captives free. And so today and tomorrow and as we go through this week and that, we can believe in the resurrection power. And this is what he desires. And as we're willing to say, you know what? He said, if you're not willing to cut off your hand and gouge out your eye, right? You've got to be willing. It's better to enter heaven with one hand and one eye than to enter heaven to go to hell with two hands and two eyes. And that, for me, I've shared this, my testimony before. That was for me, that was my cross. It was mostly this. It was mostly gouging out my eye. Many of the things I was feeding on into my eyes were causing me to be a slave of sin. And so I began to cut out those things. And immediately, you start to get questions. What? You're not going to that movie with me? Why aren't you going to that movie with me? All of a sudden, it gets real. When those tests that we read about in the rocky soil, it becomes real when that persecution comes. I want to encourage each of us today. Let's not slide back. If you've not made this journey yet, then we want to say, praise God, it's time. Today is the day of salvation. And we can say, Jesus, I believe. And you know what? I'm sick of living in a life of sin. I'm sick of being a slave. I want to be free. I want that abundant life. And we see two of the young ladies in our fellowship making that choice today to say, I want to continue on this journey. There's a start, and this is the next step of acting this out in obedience. And we want to be here as a body to encourage them to say, you know what? Tests are going to come. Trials are going to come. But fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. Call on his name and be willing to be united, to act out every day, to live out every day what we see today, this declaration, this statement you're making today. We're so encouraged by that. And for each of us, that could be our lives. And that this is the hope that we have, the hope of the resurrection today, tomorrow, And ultimately, when we go to be with Jesus, whatever that looks like, he comes or we pass on and be with him, that we can then hear when we stand before him, hey, well done, good and faithful son, good and faithful daughter. You walked it out. You were willing to take up your cross every day. You were willing to deny yourself. You were willing to suffer a bit in the flesh. It says that we have to be willing to suffer in the flesh. And as a result, you got to experience my life every day on earth. And now you get to enter into the joy of being with me for eternity. This is what he's calling us to. This might sound crazy. This, you think, wow, this baptism has become a big thing. But it is. It's why he commanded it. Because he wanted us to understand, hey, this is the life that I want you to have. But if you want the life, you have to join me in the death.